Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Living Hope. We're glad that you're here. I was trying to think if there's something I needed to say right up front, but I don't think so, other than this greeting that Christians have been using as they begin their worship services for a long, 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 long time. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thanks. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Was just that we don't have, you might notice we don't have all of our regular musicians up here. Today, again, it's the Svelbar Family Singers, otherwise known as El Chupacabra, which I love your band name, by the way. That's really, really awesome. So, including for the first time, I did not know Annalie played saxophone. So, very cool. So, anyway, we're in for a treat this morning. If you would like to stand, let's sing as we begin to worship.
I don't quite make saxophones in my vocal key, but, you know, I do what I can. It's not too early to play some Christmas carols, is it?
Amen.
This next one is an old Irish carol, which I don't think we sing enough of, but we're going to give it a shot.
Would you bow your heads with me? God, thank you for the love that you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we get to celebrate that gift as we move through this season of Advent toward the celebration of Christmas. God, we give you thanks. Thank you so much for loving ordinary people like us. So much that when you saw us stuck in our sin and our brokenness and the mess that we'd made of this life that you'd given us, you didn't push us away, but instead you came to where we are. You entered into our brokenness, our sin, our mess. And you brought your light. You brought healing. You brought strength. You brought new life where before we'd experienced only death. Thank you, God. Thank you that in Jesus Christ we see your love displayed so clearly as he conquered sin and death. Thank you, God. We pray this with confidence in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. Let's extend that peace to each other. Take a couple minutes. Shake somebody's hand. Introduce yourself to somebody. Everybody get one of these little welcome bulletins when you came in, I hope. If not, there are some more back there on the little table by the offering box. Inside there, you can find out some things going on this week, including the fact that the kids will be singing for us at the end of the service today. So after we celebrate communion, right before the very end of today's service is when the kids are coming in. They're going to come up and sing and do some little stuff for us, and that'll be fun. Those who aren't homesick, anyway, will be up here to sing for us. Hopefully all of you guys are healthy since you're here. Just so you know, I am not 100%. I'm healthy, but my voice is really, really weak. And so today my dad is actually filling in. Some of you haven't had a chance to hear my dad preach. I was just finding out a minute ago. So you're in for, this is like one of the most different mornings we've ever had. We got a different band, different preacher, the kids are singing, everything's different today. Inside there's a little green welcome card. Love to have you fill that thing out and drop it in that offering box. It's just a little silver box back by the door before you leave the sanctuary that you can drop that in. Let us know how we can be praying for you. Let us know if there was anything you particularly enjoyed or didn't enjoy about your time with us this morning. Let us know how we could, maybe you want to plug into something, you want more information about something inside. Maybe you want to bring Christmas cookies for Christmas Eve, and you just want to let us know, hey, I'll be bringing a couple dozen Christmas cookies. Because Christmas Eve, when we do our Christmas Eve service here at 5 o'clock, when we leave, we're going to be sending people out with Christmas cookies to take to people who work on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And so if you'd like to help us have cookies for them, then we'd love to have you drop them off next Sunday or any of the next couple Sundays. I guess you can drop them off the 21st. We've still got a little time. You can drop it off sometime before Christmas Eve, and we'll get them all packaged up and get them out the door. So there are other things in here that you might want to know about that you can read about. Reminder about the little gift of warmth tree out in the foyer and the ladies' coffee thing happening this Thursday. There's all kinds of good stuff that you can plug into if you'd like. All right, I'm going to quit talking because this afternoon I've got to be over at the nursing home, and I know if I preached through both services, I wouldn't have a voice for them at all. It happened, was that 2 months ago, 3 months ago? I'm trying to remember. I was out there just, like, trying to talk and not succeeding. So thankfully, hopefully I'll still have a voice since I'm not preaching this morning. So come on up, Dad, and bring the word to us today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So when I was a child, I lived on a farm out in Kansas. Do you know how we communicated? We communicated by telephone that you actually had to dial. Some of you old members, people remember that. There were five of us on a party line. And different people had different rings. We had one long. The neighbor had two shorts, and they'd be a long and a short. That was a different neighbor. There was five of us. And whenever we wanted to find out what was going on, and it was just common knowledge, whenever it would rain, got to remember, Southwest Kansas, it rained maybe, you know, three times during the summer. Somebody would call somebody, and then everybody would pick up and listen. Next thing you know, well, I got a half inch over here. It was amazing. That's how we communicated. Now, today's entirely different. Entirely different. My wife got an invitation for us to go to a Christmas party through something I don't do. But nowadays, how do we communicate? I'll see if any of you guess the way she was communicated to. How do you communicate today? Through what? Here. Facebook. She got a message on Facebook. I thought, what's that? I don't know. That's why she's on it and I'm not. How else do you communicate? Texting. How else? A little older than texting. What is another way we do it? Email. And there's Twitter. And there's all this other kind of stuff. Yeah. Carrier pigeon. That goes back a ways. Next thing you know, we'll get the Pony Express, and I really feel at home. But anyway, it's amazing. I read a story this last week about some ordinary people, kind of like me, as a farm boy out in Kansas. And they received a life-changing, altering, phenomenal message. And it's unique how they received the message. They didn't pick it up on an email or a text or a Twitter or a Facebook message or any of that kind of stuff. I'll just give you the cliff notes of what happened. These men were working the graveyard shift. That's what they always did. And in between sips of strong Starbucks coffee, this angelic being appeared to them, and their first response might have been, oh no, I'm going to be abducted by an alien. Or is this a close encounter of the third kind? Well, you know, what's going on? They were terrified, shaking in their boots, and this angelic being, probably named Gabriel, gave us these words that are in your notes, and we'll put them up on the screen. It says, that night in the fields near Bethlehem, some shepherds were guarding their sheep. And all at once, an angel came down to them from the Lord, and the brightness of the Lord's glory flashed around them, and the shepherds were frightened. By the way, everywhere in the Bible, whenever there's an angel, it just scares people almost to death. I want you to underline these next four words. But the angel said, don't be afraid. I have good news for you, which will make everyone happy. This very day, in King David's hometown, a Savior was born for you. And he is Christ the Lord, and you will know who he is because you'll find him dressed in baby clothes, lying on a bed of hay. So today, I want to look at two groups of individuals. One group gave, the other received this life-changing, life-altering message. We're going to look at the angels and the shepherds. And the message they dealt with has huge implications in our lives on this earth and throughout eternity. See, the Bible says that Christianity is a supernatural faith. Makes no bones about it. It's communicated to us like this. Jesus was born of a virgin. And he lived a perfect life. He never said no to God. When God said something, he said, okay, I'll do it. Never said no. Then he died on the cross for the rest of us who said no. He took our penalty, our payment, for your sins and for mine. And then he went back into heaven and now waits to make everything right again. And the Bible's about big supernatural stuff. And yet we find ourselves here in Valparaiso, locked into the natural world. During Christmas, these two worlds, the natural and supernatural, collide. It shouldn't surprise us or shock us. We concentrate mostly on the natural world during the Christmas season. I mean, we think about buying and decorating Christmas trees. I just asked Rick and Teresa, clear over here to your left. You got your Christmas tree up? Yep, last night. Whoo, that's cutting it close, man, but you made it. You see, we think about putting the Christmas lights up on the roof. This year I called Pastor Rich, who can't talk, so he couldn't say no. He came and helped me put them up on the roof. We argue with the in-laws about who's going to come on Christmas Eve or who's going to come on Christmas Day. You know, we eat massive quantities of food. We watch football games. We're in the natural world, you know. And I doubt seriously we'll run into any wise men or angels or shepherds sipping Starbucks while they're watching their sheep by night. We live in a real world, a world of pain and pleasure, a world of cause and effect. It's a hard world, but it's a world that obeys itself. I mean, you throw wood in water, and what does it do? It floats. But you throw iron in water, and what does it do? It sinks. A real world, that's what we live in. Dead men stay dead in a real world. Virgins don't have babies in a real world. Today, though, I want to kind of pull back the curtain, and let's look at the supernatural world. The Bible says that just as the natural world is real, so the supernatural world is real. The supernatural world is inhabited by beings. However, our eyes are not made to see the supernatural world any more than we can see a nuclear field around us. But the Bible says the supernatural world is there. And during this Christmas season, like no other time during the year, we seem to be pulled, drawn to the eternal, to the supernatural. And most of us really, down deep, are tired of living in the natural world. When we think about Christmas and the miracle of Jesus, we're kind of drawn to the supernatural. So in your notes there, it gives you Ecclesiastes 3:11 and explains why we're drawn to the supernatural. It says, God has set eternity in the hearts of men. He put it in our hearts to want to know about the supernatural. So here we have this baby Jesus born, living in a cave, in a land on hay where the animals usually eat out of the feed trough. And the angels are worshiping him. And the angels know him beyond a shadow of a doubt that this little defenseless baby is the creator of the world, of the universe. And God himself tapped the angels on the shoulder, said, okay, it's time to go down. Bring this message to this group of just ordinary, hardworking shepherds. And then we get to that part that you underlined, where it said, but the angel said. I want to talk to you about angels, because there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of muddy stuff going around concerning these beings. I've got that acrostic there for you. And the letter A helps you know that angels are aware. They're aware of what is going on. There's a word I can't say correctly, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. In 1 Corinthians 4:9, it says that we are a spectacle to the angels, or a spectacle. How do you say that word? Well, anyway, that's the word it is in the English. You look it up, 1 Corinthians 4:9. And what that means in the original language is it's kind of like an arena, like the Bears are going to play the Dallas Cowboys on Monday night. Don't waste your time watching it. I'm just telling you, though, that that's kind of what it means. Kind of like a drama, an athletic event, where they're watching. And the angels are aware of what your life is going on in your life. They're aware, as you're in the arena of life here on this natural world called Earth, of what's going on. Jesus says in Matthew 18:10, each one of us is assigned a guardian angel the moment we're born. And believe you me, I am so glad to have one. This week, Thursday morning, about 11 o'clock, I'm coming back from Portage, Indiana. I'm stopped at Highway 30 over there where it used to be Gaucho's and now it's just an empty building. Man, I loved it when it was Gaucho's. You'd roll your window down, smell that meat. Ooh, it was good. Light turns green. I'm ready to hit the throttle. You know, when the light turns green, I don't want somebody honking at me. I'm going. Except this time I felt like, wait a minute. I turned and looked, and sure enough, right there came a semi-truck. About 60 mile an hour, right on through where I'd have been if I hadn't stopped. And I know God must have said, you know, it's not Dwayne's time yet. I better have that angel tap my shoulder and say, wait a minute. You know, every time I talk to people who follow Jesus, they can tell me circumstance after circumstance or situation after situation where it just seemed like the angel tapped on the shoulder right there and saved them. I believe there's a lot of those. When we get to heaven, I think he's going to show us a lot of times where that angel had something to do with us still being alive because God wasn't finished with us yet. It's interesting, in 2 Kings, that's in the Old Testament, there's a story of Elisha, and he's in a house with his servant, and they're surrounded by an enemy army that wants to kill him. And Elisha's just sitting in the easy chair sipping his Starbucks, and the servant that's with him is just nervous. He says, don't you know we're going to die? So Elisha says, okay, God, open his eyes. And he said, sir, what are we going to do? Well, don't be afraid, Elisha. He said, there are more troops on our side than on theirs. And then he prayed, Lord, please help him see. And the Lord let the servant see. The hill was covered with fiery horses and flaming chariots all around Elisha. God answered his prayer, and all of a sudden the servant could see, oh, God's got his forces out there too. See, the angels are aware of what is going on. The N stands for numbered. Angels are numbered. Their number remains constant. Their population is not growing. They're not exploding. They're not having babies. In fact, two angels are mentioned in the Bible, Michael the archangel and Gabriel the messenger, and he's probably the one that gave the message and talked to Elizabeth and about John the Baptist and to Mary about Jesus, and the one that came to the shepherds and talked to them about Jesus. The G stands for God created. Angels are created by God. They're God created. Now, over 300 times in the Bible, over 23 times in the Gospel of Luke, it says angels did this and angels carried out that. It says they were made, they were fashioned by God himself. By the way, we don't become angels when we die. I hate to disappoint you, but you're not going to have wings and a halo when you get to heaven. No, no, we're not angels. We're human beings that God has miraculously forgiven and saved, and we're going to have a new body in heaven. And no wings. They're God created. The E stands for execute. The angels execute. And you may want to go ahead and write out these two words, God's purposes throughout history. They execute God's plan, God's formula in the world today. I mean, you go to the very first book of the Bible in Genesis, and there the angels guarded the Garden of Eden with flaming swords. They also carried out judgments on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. In Ezekiel, they overwhelmed the prophet with mind-blowing visions. And in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, they worship Jesus at the throne. They're already involved in what is already a victorious war against the forces of evil. But only in America can we take angels and change them into benign beings that we treat like harmless hummingbirds just fluttering around. That's not in the Bible, folks. They execute what God wants done. And the Bible says when people saw angels, they fell flat on their faces. They were frightened to death. Their lives were altered from that day forward. They were never the same again. They're not things you play with, sit back, and enjoy. They are powerful, one-of-a-kind beings. And then L stands for limited. Angels are limited. In other words, angels are not to be worshipped. We're not to worship the creature rather than the creator. Angels just simply minister to us. The Holy Spirit of God ministers in us. Angels are limited to what they can do. They don't convict you of sin when you do something wrong. Only the Spirit of God can do that. Angels showed up when Jesus was born. All of humanity was holding its breath because they knew the Son of God was coming down and putting on human skin. And the angels just simply had the privilege of announcing his birth. Now, they didn't print it out on a little card and say he was this long and weighed this much. They didn't call CNN or send the word to this king or that dignitary. No, they gave it to a group of ordinary guys who are checking their watches, wondering when the sun's going to come up so they can go home. Now, go back to verse 10 where you underlined, but the angel said, what did he say? He said, don't be afraid. I have good news for you, which will make everyone happy. I love that. Going to make everyone happy. Not just the Jews. Not just for this church. No. He came to make everyone happy. I believe God chose the shepherds to show the universality of the gospel. You see, the shepherds were the outcasts of the day. They're the people. I mean, they're hanging around sheep, so they didn't smell too good, so they wouldn't let them walk into the temple to worship because they're considered ceremonially unclean. And so here they are tending the sheep that most scholars believe were really, these sheep were the sheep that were probably going to be sacrificed at the temple because people would come, and when it was time to make a sacrifice, instead of bringing a sheep with them, they'd just pay money to the people and buy a sheep, and there it was. And the angels communicated the gospel to these guys, these shepherds that didn't smell too good. It's fascinating to realize that Jesus was called the Good Shepherd, and he was also called the Lamb of God. These shepherds, they were streetwise. They were not easily fooled. But it says here in our notes that suddenly many other angels came down from heaven and joined in praising God, and they said, praise God in heaven, peace on earth to everyone who pleases God. Wow. The angels praise God. And when he created the world, they praise God. And now in Luke chapter 2, they're praising God because of a new creation. God came down as a baby in skin. And the next is an interesting verse that almost jumped out at me this week. After the angels left and had gone back to heaven. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you just woke me up, scared me to death, and you're gone? They just whooshed back into heaven with their frequent flyer miles. You know, they're just gone. So what happens? The shepherds said to one another, said to each other. Now again, we're talking about average, ordinary, hardworking people, shepherds who argue with their wives now and then, shepherds who may have been disillusioned about how hard their jobs were, and they've always got the graveyard shift, and then you're into a graveyard shift, you can't see where you're walking, and then your feet stink, and on it goes. Well, what did the shepherds do? Hit the delete button. No, they didn't. They didn't erase it. They didn't shun it. They didn't even disregard it. You know what they did? Look at what happened. They said, let's go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord has told us about. And they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a bed of hay. Those three people was who they were looking for. And they just didn't find them all of a sudden. They had to hunt to find them. You know, we have so many people come to our services each week in, week out, and they're see the sign out here on Calumet Avenue, and they're really searching for the truth. They're searching for meaning in life. They're searching for God. They're searching for the Lord, and the shepherds found Mary and Joseph and the baby. And it says, when the shepherds saw Jesus, they told his parents what the angel had said about it. And everyone listened and was surprised. But Mary kept thinking about all this and wondering what it meant. Just think about this. They tell them what happened, and everyone listens surprised. These are just ordinary, stinking shepherds had walked in some doo-doo that came into a cave where there's more doo-doo, and they say, wow, you're not going to believe, Mary and Joseph, what we just saw. They didn't go to school. They didn't go to seminary. They didn't go to Bible college. All they did was just tell them what happened to them. That's what a witness is. You don't have to tell you know everything just to witness or to share what Jesus Christ has done for you. Just tell the truth. That's what these shepherds did. And the shepherds, they didn't become poets. They didn't become priests. They didn't become pastors or missionaries or anything like that. Not even a politician. They just, what they do, as the shepherds return to their sheep, they're shepherds. They're still praising God and saying wonderful things about him. Everything they had seen and heard was just as the angel had said. See, Christmas, it's when the natural world and the supernatural world collide. There are two things, by the way, two things you and I can do here on earth that we're not going to be able to do in heaven. You know what it is? When we get to heaven, we'll never say no to God. We'll never sin again. Oh, and there's something else. When you get to heaven, you can't witness. You can't tell anybody about Jesus because everybody knows about Jesus. He's right there with them in heaven. Two things you can't do in heaven that you can do here on earth. And there's, yet here on earth, you see, we have the opportunity, as it says in your notes, to communicate Jesus to each other through these four ways. You can do it through your lifestyle. It's on the back of the side. Your lifestyle should let people know something's different. I'll never forget it. I'm 20 years of age. I finally opened my life up to God and said, okay, God, here I am. I need help. God, help me. It's 3 days later, somebody says, man, Dwayne, what's wrong with you anyway? You're different than you used to be. You know what I told him? I didn't know what to tell him. I just told him the truth like the shepherds did. I said, well, blame God. So what do you mean blame God? I said, I just opened my life up to God. He changed my life. What else can I say? Your lifestyle should communicate to other people that your life is different. You've got meaning in life. You've got a purpose in life. You've got a hope in life. You've got God helping you. And then our words. My words changed when I opened my life up to God. Not only did my words change, my attitudes changed. You know why they asked me what was wrong with me? I came to work that day, I was smiling. I used to not smile that much. I didn't want to go to work, so why smile? Now I'm smiling. Man, I'm glad I got a job. And I got a great chance to talk to people about Jesus if they just ask me. I remember telling God that. God, if they just ask me, I'm going to tell them. And that day they asked me. My attitude was different. Why are you smiling? What's wrong with you? Blame God. Oh, in other ways, by our actions. Our actions are different when we're following Jesus. Now, the Lord doesn't want us to disobey God. He didn't want us to sin. He wants us just simply to follow him, to share, to imitate the shepherds, to spread the good news, to spread the word. So I want to give you a challenge, a Christmas challenge, to imitate the shepherds. Don't go walking doo-doo. I'm not talking about that. I mean, to imitate the shepherds, what they went and found three people, Mary, Joseph, and a baby. So here's what I want you to do. Number one, I want you to make a target list. Okay, you got pencils at your table. Here's what I want you to do. Now, if you're just visiting, you don't need to do this. But for those of you that are following Jesus, I want you to do this. I want you to make a list of three people you know who are outside the family of God. They're not following Jesus. You know, it could be a neighbor. Could be somebody you go to school with. Could be somebody you meet at the grocery store or something else. You know, whatever it is. Who is it? I'm just going to take a minute. Could be a coworker, somebody you play golf with. It is a nice day today, but I'm not playing golf. But whatever it is, just I want you to write them down. So I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to write down three names. That's 10 seconds apiece. You can do that. So get your pencil, write down three names of people you know that don't know Jesus. Okay, you got the three names down? Three names. Have you got three names yet? Anybody got three names? Anybody know three names? Okay. Way to go, Linda. Let me see your three names. You can look at my three names. Don't tell anybody who they are, though. Okay. Wait a minute. I don't know these people. You can't. Come on. Do you know mine?
No.
What? You see, if we'd go all around, we wouldn't know each other's three names, would we? I suppose today we'll probably have about 120, 130 people here, and let's say 20 or 30 of them are kids. Let's say about 20 of them are maybe our visitors. That leaves 80 of us left. 80 of us know three people who don't know Jesus. Multiply that times three, and you get what? You don't need a calculator. What? 240. Okay, maybe some of you do need a calculator. But anyway, that's 240 people right there. Think how much influence we would have. I mean, just think about it. Just make a list of three people, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to commit to pray. Commit to praying. I've been praying for these three people. By the way, that is a dangerous prayer. You know why? I just pray that God will open up an opportunity, just a crack in the door, to show a sliver of Jesus to these people I'm praying for. And it happened this morning. I'm out jogging the dog, and the dog wants to stop to do her business in the ditch. And as she does, it's right by my next door neighbor. And I'm out in the country, so he lives about like a half a block away. He's getting ready to go to work. I waved at him. He waves back at 6:30 in the morning. Do you know it took me 3 years to get him to wave? But that's a sliver of a chance. And one of these days, when he lets me get the foot in the door, he says, "Why are you always waving?" I'm just going to tell him, "Hey, blame it on God. He changed my life." He did? I mean, because everybody wants to know, what do you mean changed? And then all you do is just tell him, "I opened my life up to God." I mean, just pray for God to give you a sliver. The moment I prayed that prayer, I already shared with you, when I was at work, 3 days later, somebody said, "What's wrong with you, Dwayne?" And I was asking God, I said, "God, I don't know what to say if they ask me. What do I say?" "Don't worry about it." He just, out it came, blame God. Next thing you know, they're asking me again, "What do you mean blame God?" Good question. I opened my life to God, he changed my life, and now I smile. What else can I say? Would you like to smile? Yeah, I'll ask you some more about it. Now, don't give him the whole. See, don't give him the. I mean, it was so amazing. We're supposed to bless. What do you call it? Pass the blessing. I come over here by Howard's table. He has three chocolate chip cookies on his plate. I'm thinking, I didn't know there was chocolate chip cookies. I'm a chocolate-holic. I didn't know Angie brought them this morning. I'll go back there, and there was a bunch, I think, between services. He didn't take the whole tray and put on his table. He just put two or three. And that's all you want to do. Just give them a sliver. Make them want to come back. That's why I love these things. These things are so good, man. You don't even have to say nothing. You don't even have to share nothing. You know what? I went to this church, and the pastor told me. You ought to come. And what are they going to do? They're going to fold this thing up, put it in their pocket when they get home. Okay, what's Dwayne talking about this church? They've even got a website. I got to look that up. And then next thing you know, they come to church. It's not rocket science, folks, because I'm just a farm boy from Kansas. I'm not that smart. I just keep it simple. I just commit to pray. And then the next thing you do, you spread the word. Be ready just to communicate verbally what Jesus did. They're invited to his service. It's so easy. And by the way, if you bring him here, Pastor Rich, if he's able to talk, will tell him about the life-changing message from the moment they come until they leave. And I'll tell you what, let me give you a deal. I find out if I busted on my end, and you busted on your end, I tell you, these musicians, they're practicing every week. They'll do their best, and Pastor Rich will do his best to make sure it's something that's really going to listen, people want to listen to, and they're going to do their job. They're going to communicate. Pastor Rich will communicate through talking, and Scott and his crew, whoever he has up here every week, they'll do their job. You know, one of the reasons churches grow is because people in growing churches, they do this regularly. But if you don't have somebody, you bring to church every other month or so who's a hell-bound sinner, then something's not quite right. We need to get out to where we can find people who don't know Jesus. My wife is so concerned about that that, man, we'd been in Portage about 10 years, and she says, I got to find a way to reach sinners. I said, it's not that hard. Ruth, what do you like to do? I want to bowl. I hate bowling. Go join a ladies' league. You want to share Jesus? Get in a league then that doesn't know, that's not church group. Just get in a group. She did. The very first time she went bowling, she comes back and said, man, you're not going to believe I am the lady in charge of our group, man. She found out I'm a pastor's wife. She just let me have it. I said, there's your target. Better start praying. A year and a half later, you know, Ruth Ann just kept being nice to her and saying, God, help me smile at her and be nice to her, you know. And a year and a half later, the lady found out she had cancer, and who did she talk to? The one person she knows Jesus. Ruth Ann. Just be ready. I lost my spot. Be ready to share wherever. What are we at? What was the last thing that was up there? Anybody remember? Oh, yeah, spread the word. Be ready to share. See, that's why I have to have blanks because I get lost. I have no idea where I am. And I don't know how Pastor Rich does it. He comes up here with this little sheet of paper. I don't know how he does it. Now, we could just finish right here and just stop right here and be done. But I hate it when pastors do this because every time I obey God, there are benefits. And I want you to know, what are the benefits? If you do what God wants you to do, first thing it does is strengthens our faith. It strengthens our faith. Let me tell you something. I have all kinds of degrees from four different colleges and universities or whatever, and they mean nothing to me. You know what means something to me? When I look back over my 67 years of life, you know what means something to me? When I have an opportunity, somebody says, can you tell me why you're different? Yeah, I'll tell you. Open my life to God. It's pretty simple. I don't give him a whole lot, just to give him a little bit. I said, if you want to open your life to God, it'll make a difference in your life too. Man, that just pumps me up. But when I don't share my faith regularly, when I'm surrounded by too many Christians all the time, and my best friends are believers, I got to be careful. I have to go places on purpose where I find people that don't know Jesus because that's what really builds my faith, and it'll build your faith too. I grew up in western Kansas where there wasn't any water, and then I started dating Ruth, and there's two rivers that flow through her town in Emporia, Kansas. Her dad liked to fish, so I decided I just better tell him the truth. I know nothing about fish. I don't know if they swim frontwards, backwards. What do I know? I've never seen one in the water. So I said, well, I got to take you fishing. You know what I found out? Jesus says we need to be fishers of humans, by the way. Here's what I found out about fishing. Fishing is messy. They have scale and slime and guts when you're trying to clean them. Then you can't get the odor off your hands. They smell like for a week. Hey, dealing with people outside the family of God, sometimes it is messy. And you got to deal with their problems. And they have relational foul-ups and mix-ups. And every time I share my faith, it keeps me from being so self-absorbed. And a lot of us here, I hate to tell it, we are self-absorbed. You know, we rather say, God, I'd rather come to church and see what I can get from me instead of what I can share with somebody else. We need to move outside of ourselves. Think about others. The second thing it'll do is this. If you obey God, spreading the word will alter the eternity of others. I mean, the angels up there are going to have to keep increasing the square footage of heaven because people are telling other people about Jesus. Just this week, Tuesday morning, I'm eating breakfast with the men in our group. And the owner of the restaurant comes by and says hi and goes on by. And I know her because I've been working on this lady for about 10 years. And then we're paying our bill, and I'm the last one to pay my bill, and she's in the baking part. She says, hey, Pastor, how you doing? I said, you know, I'm doing pretty good, but I know there's a reason she's asking the question. I walked back there to her, and I said, how about you? How are you doing? A little bit later, I had my arm around her shoulder, and I said, let me just pray for you and ask God to help you. I tell you what, you never know where you are or where you'll be. Just stay in tune with God. He'll open the door for you. Oh, and the other thing it'll do, it'll build the church. See, sometimes people tell me, well, you know, I'm a part of the universal church. The Church of Jesus Christ in the world. Well, so am I. But you know what the New Testament was written specifically to local churches. Local churches. I mean, most of the scripture in my notes this morning comes from the Contemporary English Version. And in the Contemporary English Version, the word church is used 100 times in the New Testament. And guess what? 95 of those times it talks about a specific local church. Now, I've been involved with other groups. I've been involved with Campus Life and Promise Keepers and all these other groups. In fact, that's just this week. You probably involved just like I did with the Salvation Army. I told God, I said, God, you bless me. Every time I go buy a kettle this year, I'm going to put in a buck. And don't you know what? I go to Menards, and all I have is my Discover card in my pocket. And this lady's really good. She said, man, how you doing today? Yeah, you have a blessed day, okay? And I'm thinking, oh, brother, I got nothing to put in there. I said, I'll tell you what, when I come back out, I'm going to go to the vehicle and get a dollar. I'm going to put in your kettle. And when I come out, you don't let me forget. Well, I forgot. You go in Menards one door, you come out the other door. She's not there. I thought, you know, I could just slide on out of here, but then I'd have to think about this. Okay, God, I'll get it. I'm going to walk back up there, and I'm going to give it to her. And I tell you what, even putting a buck in makes you feel pretty good. But Jesus says in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. The church is where the wisdom of Christ will be made known. It's where you grow spiritually. It's where it really helps you. And if you know anything else more important than the church, see me afterwards. I'd like to find out about it. But I want you to know something. The church is where you'll really grow. And if you don't want to be a part of this church, find another church. But get involved in a local church. It'd be well worth your time. So this Christmas message, I want you to leave a message. Not an email, not a Twitter, not even a Facebook message, not a text, eyeball to eyeball. I want you to leave a message of what Christ can do with people you know and meet. This Christmas season, leave a message, the message of what Christ can do, because he can do it in your life and others. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, I just want to say thank you. I'm just a simple farm boy that grew up, and my family couldn't even understand me speak, so I had to go to a speech therapist. I stuttered. I was scared to talk. People made fun of me. I didn't want to talk. And then you changed my life. And I just had to tell somebody. Not because I was brave, but because they kept asking, what's changed? Why are you different? And dear God, I just want to say thank you for changing my life. And I just say thank you because I'm here today because somebody invited me and told me about Jesus. So help me to tell somebody too. So we got these three names, and I just ask you to help us to pray for them. I pray for mine every day. And this morning, I got to wave at one of them. That was a sliver. That was encouragement. And someday, I'm going to see him find Jesus. I just know he is. So, dear Lord, I just want to say thank you for giving us this opportunity this morning to come and be reminded that we have a message just like the angels have, and that is good news of great joy to people in the world, in the natural world, that are searching for meaning, for purpose, for forgiveness, for your help. Thank you, dear Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Rich to come up and lead us in the prayer that Jesus taught us.
And would you pray with me? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to celebrate communion together, and then the kids are going to be joining us to sing. So while Scott's family leads us in a song, I'll be up here with a basket of bread and a cup of grape juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the juice, and eat it, and then return to your seat. This is a reminder to us of the great love that God showed us in his Son, Jesus Christ. We celebrated at Christmas, the sending of his Son, the fact that God put on flesh and came to us. And now we celebrate the sacrifice that he made when that flesh was torn, when that blood was spilled on that cross, as Jesus defeated sin and death by his own death and resurrection. So today, if you're giving thanks to God for that wonderful gift of Jesus Christ, you're invited to come and give thanks and celebrate. Thank you again, God, for the gift of love you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you. Fill our hearts with the Spirit of Christ, we pray, that we might live as your sons and daughters in the world, that this week, as we pray for those people on our list, as you give us opportunities to wave, to smile, to show your love, and eventually, God, to share with them what you've been doing in our lives, God, we trust that your Holy Spirit will lead us in that, and that you will give us words to say, that you will guide us. Thank you, God, for sending your message to ordinary people like us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it looks like we've got some kids ready to come up and sing to us. So come on up, guys. All right, so They've given you an example there. If these kids could stand in front of you, you can probably talk to your friends about the good news of Jesus, can't you? All right. Go in peace. Enjoy the rest of your week. And hopefully we'll see you back next Sunday.